for today. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for today. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We reverence your presence in our midst. Thank you for the covering of the fathers of the house. Lord, as created this atmosphere for us to draw near to you and to hear your voice. We give you praise and glory. Drop thy distilled juice of quietness. Drop thy distilled juice of quietness. Till our striving cease. Take from our souls.
Take from our souls
the strain and stress and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of the peace. The Heavenly Father, we worship you. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord Holy Spirit, we worship you. Trying mighty day to honor your presence in our midst this evening. We do not take it for granted, but we humble ourselves under the mighty hand. And as we go into your word, I strip myself, Father, of every confidence that I yet have, my own knowledge, your ability to share your word. I place a lot of my confidence in your message to be a faithful steward of the mysteries of the kingdom. In the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the help of Holy Spirit, and in particular under the covering of the set fathers of the house, that I bring a word you cause to be a word in season, that will bring an edification of the body, that will give us an understanding of the times and the seasons and what we ought to do. I ask that your word will go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit to do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our will to become more humble, our minds further enlightened by revelation knowledge that comes forth today, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the Holy Spirit. As I speak, Lord, help me to speak to redeem the time, not to say things on us, bringing out the tree of your things, both old and new, as I subscribe, instructed unto the kingdom. Lord Spirit, I say to you, Holy Spirit, at my right hand, come and have your way. Come and glorify the name of Jesus. Come and testify of him. Give us an understanding of his times and the seasons and what we ought to do. Thank you, Father, for your mercies. Lord Jesus, thank you for your grace. Holy Spirit, thank you for your love, and thank you for covering today. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I thank God for today. The title of my message is, Go Ye Up Unto This Feast. Let's say it together. Go ye up unto this feast. I think it's the book of John chapter 7 verse 8. Say, Go ye up unto this feast. I think last Sunday when Pastor was preaching, he was talking about the God's times and seasons for this end time. And he gave us a prophetic timetable right back from, actually spoke from Genesis to this third day. And he explained to us, he gave us charts, and I encourage you to please go and get that message, download it, and then open the chart so you can have understanding. That is our timetable. Can you imagine a student going for an examination and not having his timetable? He's going to miss the examination. So can you follow me? So we are in that last Jubilee circle. And as I was in my Bible some time ago, recently, because we're in the book of John, if you follow the daily rhema that has been sent, we've been in the book of John for some time now, and God kind of opened my eyes to see some things that are tally with what is going on, what we have passed through, where we are, and then what we should expect. So John chapter 7 verse 8 says, Go ye up unto what? This feast, a particular feast, not just any feast. Are you following me? Say, Go ye up unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. That means it's going to come, but the time for him to appear has not come. Notice it was in Israel. The feast was taking place in a particular place. So said, you guys, he was talking to his brethren. The Bible says that in the book of Hebrews, he said, he was not ashamed to call us brethren. So this speaks about what the Lord is telling us, the body of Christ today. He said, Go ye up unto this feast. That means that, like Pastor was teaching, put in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, read from verses 1 and 2. That means, like Pastor said, God expects us to know the times and the seasons. Every serious student in the natural must know the examination that he has tomorrow. He must know that maybe I have whatever tomorrow. Next tomorrow is economics. Are you following me? So it's very important. An unserious student will not have a timetable. So if in the natural,
lecturers or teachers will give their students a timetable that they can follow. And you notice the timetable will not come out until they've completed the syllabus. So what am I saying spiritually speaking? 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1. What does it say? Say, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, say brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Next verse. For you what? Understand. For you yourself know perfect. Say, know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 5 says that we are the children of light, so that they should not catch us unawares. That you already have your timetable. So go to it and prepare for the next thing on the agenda. I follow him. Praise the Lord. So, and as I was mentioning on this scripture, we'll go back to John chapter 7 in a few minutes. But let's put a some background beside this. It is important for us to have an understanding of his times and the seasons and what. If you don't have an understanding, you don't know what to do. If you're supposed to prepare for economics, you breathe in maybe biology. That will not be a portion of Jesus. That's a natural example. Let's go to Psalm 89 verse 15, the book of Amplified Bible. Psalm 89 verse 15. Psalm 89 verse 15. Let's look at that. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied. Let's look at that. Are the what? People who what? No. Say no. No. The joyful what? Sound. Who what? Understand and also appreciate. Say understand. And appreciate. That means if you don't understand, you won't appreciate. Appreciation has to do with what you put into it. Your response. Like Bible talking about Ezekiah. Said that Ezekiah did not render unto God when God added 15 years. There's something that happens. You don't ask you your appreciation. But I thank God though. Have understand. Sufficient gratitude. So it says that who know the job is done, who understand and appreciate the word, the spiritual blessings. Symbolized. Say symbolized by the feast. They walk, oh Lord, those same people. Say they walk. Oh Lord, in what? In the light and in the favor of your countenance. Because they have an understanding and they show appreciation, there begins to see a spring in their walk. See, they are no more moved about what is happening on the external. They know what God's program is on the timetable. Praise God. So they must understand and appreciate. And it says that they walk in the favor of the Lord. That talks about grace. When you understand the times and the seasons, he brings a measure of grace to you. That's what favor is. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 15. Let's put in some background before go to message proper. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 15 verse 6 says, Lord have mercy. Proverbs 16 verse 15. Proverbs 16, 15. Not 15, 16. Verse 16, 15 says, in the light of a king's countenance is what? Life, which is favor. And his favor is as a cloud of what? The latter rain. In the light of the king's countenance. That we know that talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. In that light is what? His favor. And it's as a cloud of latter rain. The Bible said the set time to favor Zion has come. So that favor is upon Zion. That countenance is shining upon Zion today, which is going to bring about the latter rain. And I put it here, we all know, for us to have an understanding, God has given us sons of Issachar. We don't have to turn there. I think 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 32. It says that they have an understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. And the Bible says the number was just 200. There are not many. I say, you have not many fathers. It is not every pastor or any so-called a prophet that has an understanding of the times and the seasons and what Israel ought to do. Some may understand, many understand that we're in the end time, but they don't know what to do. That they can be bringing that we should be expecting a rapture. Praise the Lord. So how do you know them? I'm just putting some background before I go to the message proper. How do we know them? Genesis chapter 49 verse 14 talks about Issachar. He says that Issachar is a strong ass couching down between two burdens. The old mark of the sons of Issachar is that they are burden bearers. The Bible says that let every man bear his own burden. They say bear one another's burdens. They are intercessors. You see, for God to give you an understanding, you must also have the prophetic, you must have the grace to bathe it. That's why you see people like Daniel. God will show them something. They go and bathe that purpose into physical manifestation. So it's very, very important. That's why Bible says, understanding is what? A wellspring of life unto him that has it. So you see, when the apostles come, the prophets, these sons of Issachar, they're all over the place, but they are not many. They give us an understanding. Gives us life and gets us prepared for God's end time purposes. Praise the Lord. So I'd like to give a background, because we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacles today, just for those peradventure hearing this kind of message for the first time. There are three main feasts in Israel, natural Israel. Let's say the Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Pastor spoke about it on Sunday. Now, just to summarize, we know that the symbol was fulfilled when they came out of Egypt and they killed the Passover lamb, right or wrong. And that already has already been fulfilled. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. To see when it was fulfilled. And Paul was talking. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Let's together. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be what? A new lump, as ye are on leaven. For what? For even Christ. Say, even Christ. Our what? Passover is sacrificed for us. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Therefore, let us keep the feast. So Passover is a feast. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is what happens when anybody gets born again. So that feast has been fulfilled. It is being fulfilled and will yet be fulfilled. The more people get born again, they will fulfill that feast. The second feast is the feast of Pentecost. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 15. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This also has been fulfilled. For those that yet to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they will feel it. And then those that are going to get born again, they will still fulfill it. So it is past, present, and future. Are you following me? What does it say? And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheave of the wave offering. Say wave offering. 7 Sabbaths. Are you following me? Shall be complete. That is 49. Next verse. Even unto the morrow, after the 7th Sabbath, making 50. Shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. One more verse, 17. Okay. Ye shall bring out of your habitations what? 2 wave loaves. See that 2 again. Testimony. Of 2 10 deals, and they shall be of fine flour, and they shall be baking with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. That speaks about Pentecost. But if you notice here, it says that those 2 loaves will bake it with leaven. Leaven speaks about the same nature. God knew that in Pentecost, those that partake of Pentecost will still have the same nature. When you get born again, the sin nature is totally removed from your spirit, we all know. But you have it in residual nature in your soul and your body. That's why I said you shall bake these 2 loaves with leaven. And he said that you, after you count 7 Sabbaths on the 58th day, and for him, that's when you perform this. It has already been fulfilled in the Acts of Apostles. That is why the Bible says Jesus Christ taught them for 40 days. You see, because you know why? In time of the Lord Jesus, it was accurate. Because it was perfect. It was working according to God's timetable. So, for him, it could not be delayed. It was either before or right on time. You can imagine just what to say. For us, we have a little bit of issue. Because we can delay hasten it. But God wants us to hasten. But for the master, everything was accurate on time. In fact, it was ready before the time. So, let's open the book of Acts just to see that. This is what I've been fulfilled. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm grateful. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Are we there? So it says, to whom? Acts 1:3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for how many days? For 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. You see, he was preparing them for what's to come. But they needed Pentecost to achieve it. If you open to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. We already know the scriptures just to put us in remembrance. What does this? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost was what? Fully come. 10 days after, making 50. So it was only 10 days. Pastor was sharing at the beginning of the message for 500 people to wait. Just 10 days. You see, if they had an understanding of the scriptures, they would have understood, but they did not. So all they needed to do was to obey what the master said. Just 10 days. But see, it was hid from them. They did not know. So from 500 dwindled to 120. And of course, we know what happened. He says that, and they were all with one accord. And then what happened? Verse 4. Say, the Spirit of God came down, and they were baptized with the Spirit, began to speak with tongues. Praise the Lord. So that is the second feast, Pentecost. It has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the apostles got baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues. I also believe that the Master spoke in tongues. Or else, how will he tell us to go and pray, he that believeth my name shall speak with new tongues? He spoke in tongues. It was just that he did not do it openly because they did not know. And for that, why he said, of whom, that's why Paul said, of whom we have many things to say, had to be uttered. He didn't teach them everything because they did not understand. I follow him, but he did. He prayed in tongues. He prayed. Praise the Lord. Now, the last feast that we are expecting now, that Pastor talked about, is the feast of what? Tabernacles. Or the feast of Booths, called Sukkot. I'm not getting the pronunciation right. I'm a Jew. I'm a spiritual Jew. Sukkot, yeah. And let's open this. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34. Thank you, Jesus. 34. Are we there? So it says, God was talking, says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be what? The feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. Next verse. On the first day shall be an holy convocation, and shall do no servile work therein. Hold on, because of time. Go to 42, because of time. On the 42, ye shall dwell within booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. That is, every Israelite that is born again at this time must dwell in where? Booths. That is what they call the feast of tabernacle. A tabernacle is a tent. Are you following me? Verse 43. Thank you, Jesus. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. Even I am the Lord your God. So what are we saying? Why are we going through all this? I'm trying to show us from the Old Testament the symbol. It says that blessed are they that know the symbolic meaning of the feast. Say that shall rejoice. So we see that Passover has been fulfilled, which we have fulfilled Passover. Pentecost, if you are praying in tongues, you have also fulfilled it. But there is one more feast that is yet to be fulfilled by the church. And that is what we are expecting now. Praise the Lord. And it's in the seventh month, or the seventh 1,000-year period from Adam. Third day from Christ. Praise the Lord. So, and just to put a bit of background, in Jewish Israel, in Israel in those days, there's a way they celebrate the feast. You see, when that feast came around, when the feast began, a priest would carry a golden pitcher. Then he would go to the pool of Siloam. He would take that golden pitcher to fetch water. Then he will go back into the temple where you have silver vessels. Then he will pour that water inside the golden pitcher, inside the silver vessel. What are we saying? Gold in the Bible speaks about divine nature. That is, there comes a time that God fills himself and then empties himself inside the silver vessel. Silver speaks about redemption in the Bible. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Now, that is what they used to do in those days. That was why in that feast, in the last day of the feast, Jesus Christ was trying to let them know. But look, this water you are carrying and are pouring is not the issue. Said, whosoever is thirsty, let him come unto me, the golden pitcher, and drink. Out of his vessel shall flow rivers of the water. So he was trying to look, because it was during that feast that he said that thing. But they did not understand. They kept doing the symbol. That is, they get the water. What does the pool of Siloam mean? It means the pool of a sent one. John chapter 9, verse 7. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I remember when there was a guy that was blind, and the master was going, after he put clay on his face, what did he say? He said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. So you see, what are we trying to say? It takes unction. Are you following me? Or dwelling under the apostolic and prophetic covering for your eyes to be open in this feast we are talking about. Or as you ask the question, how come that many don't see it? So he said that blind guy, in the natural he was blind, but spiritually speaking now, and he said unto him, go wash in what? In the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way therefore and washed, and he came seeing. God wants everybody to see, to have an understanding of the times that we are living in and what Israel ought to do. Like I said, and God has promised or said in the Old Testament, he said that every one of your male children, including female, shall appear before me 3 times in a year, at Passover, at Pentecost, and at Tabernacles. Well, they said, and the word of God cannot be broken. And also said, you shall not come before the Lord empty handed. That is, you must come with your vessel full of oil at different degrees. Praise the Lord. So, let's go back to John chapter 7, verse 8, where I picked the message from. Go ye unto this feast. Let's say, God, go ye unto this feast. It's a commandment that he told his brethren. So I put it there. Are we there? It says, go ye up unto this feast. That means it was a particular feast. I go not up yet unto this feast, for my time is not yet fully come. It has come, but it's not fully come. It was there, but it has not entered. I follow him. So he said, go ye up. And he said, my time. And I put it there. I said, when will his time fully come? That's what we are expecting. We know we are in the season of a feast. Acts chapter 3, verse 21. 3:21. What does this? Acts 3:21. So it says, whom, says together, whom the heavens must receive until what? The times of the restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world begun. Practically everything has been restored. That pastor was sharing about 1900, 1906, you know, Azusa Street Revival, when God restored the battle of the Spirit back to the church, which was the beginning of a feast of Tabernacles. That was to announce, because the feast of Tabernacles has 3 aspects. Everybody say trumpets, Day of Atonement, and the feast of Tabernacles proper. So the trumpets of the restoration of tongues was the trumpets of Tabernacles that God announced. And like he said in Numbers 10, says that when they will use these silver trumpets to do 3 things, they will gather Israel to the assembly, and then also for the journeying when they want to move. That's about the prophetic ministry. 2 silver trumpets. And then also to prepare them for war. You can go and listen to that message. Just basic 3 things that they do with the trumpet, which was done, you know, 1900, 1906. So I said, he says that, go ye up unto this feast. I say, what feast? To be sure. Is it Passover we are going up to? Or is it Pentecost? John chapter 7, verse 2. John chapter 7, verse 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, same chapter. Now, the Jews' feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So it's clear to us that we are to go up onto this feast. Feast of Tabernacles. And he says something back in the first verse we read. He said, you go up to this feast. My time has not fully come. That's it. I'm not coming yet. So what that means, what does that mean? What does that mean? Sorry. It means that God expects us to be at the feast before he comes. If you look at that story, you see, it's a story. It happened in natural. It happened actually. It's a literal story of what took place. But it has prophetic interpretations of what we are going through now. What we have gone through, what we are going through, and what we yet go through. So he's telling the church, go ye up unto this feast. And we qualify the feast as Tabernacles, not Passover, not Pentecost. Don't need to go up. That means you cannot stay where you are. You need to go up. I follow my train of thought. So it's a go into. And I put it there just to let me go a brief summary of what we're going to talk about. There are 4 things that happened in that chapter while I was meditating and I saw, which applies to us today. The first thing is, I already read it. Said, go ye up unto this feast. John chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. We'll come back to it. The second thing that during that feast, the Bible says, he goes up in secret. John chapter 7, verse 10. When he will appear in the feast, nobody knew. He just came in secret. Then the third thing that happened was that during the middle of the feast, when he appeared, he began to teach boldly. Say boldly. He was not just teaching. He was teaching boldly when he appeared. And then the final thing was, at the final day of the feast, John 7, 37 to 38. But in the last day, that great day of the feast, that is what is right in front of the church today. Like Pastor was sharing. We're in the very end of the end time. In an examination, the examiner will say, you have 2 minutes more. We're in the extra time of the last days. So we need to know. So that are the 4 basic things that happened. And as we continue, we'll look at it
a little at a time, trusting the Lord to open our eyes to see. So you see, when he said, go ye up unto this feast, you also see when I was meditating, in this story of the master, when he went up to the Feast of Tabernacles, we also see the three aspects of the Feast of Tabernacles taking place. Everybody say trumpet, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles proper. You see as you go on. What does it mean to go up? Say go up and this is Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. When the Lord was speaking to go to call, it's a call to come up, Peter. To leave where you are and to go up. What does it say? Revelation chapter 4 verse 1. I said trumpet, atonement, and tabernacle can be seen in this same story. After this, I looked and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Behold, I set before you an open door which no man can shut. Follow my thinking. In heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a hot trumpet, prophetic, talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. So the master is telling us today, the body of Christ, go ye up unto this feast. Trumpets. It's being blown loudly. Are you following me? He said, that's trumpets being fulfilled right there. And I put it here. I said that when do we go up? I already mentioned it. When we begin to see the feast drawn near. Very important. The feast must not start before you go up. You'll be too late. You remember that rich fool? One is brought forth many. He said, I'll quickly pull down my bags and build another one so I can accommodate what is coming. What is coming, you have to prepare to accommodate it. Or else the wineskin will burst. Follow what I'm trying to say. So we go up when we hear that the season has come. We move to another season now. We expect certain fruits to be available in Nigeria. Other is bananas, mangoes. We already know. So before that time comes, it's natural. Everybody understands. Oh, mangoes will soon come. Why? Because it's so and so season. We know. So we begin to prepare. When the dry season is about to come now, if you don't have a well or something, you go and dig a borehole or get a well. Why? Because you know, everything will start drying up, right or wrong. You start getting ready, preparing for Harmattan. So, like he said, if you can look into the sky and understand that and say it's going to rain, so how come you do understand the times? That is, we are saying that the feast is around the corner. The master is saying, why are you waiting here? Go up! Go up onto this feast. Because once it begins, it's too late. For those that have had the knowledge, not those that have not heard it before. Praise the Lord. So I said, what does that mean? So when the feast draws now, when we enter the season, prophetically this means that we as a church are expected to be in the feast ready before he appears. For the Bible appears. So what are we trying to say? God is telling us that we should move from Pentecost to Tabernacles. Don't tarry long. They're not going to leave Pentecost behind. Like Papa Ralph said, the greater swallows the lesser. So we'll go with Pentecost inside you. We'll go with Tabernacles inside you. Or Passover inside you. And then you move from Pentecost to Tabernacles. Praise the Lord. Let's put some scriptures behind this. I said we must be ready before it comes. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Matthew 24, 44. He's talking about the same thing, talking about feast. Says, therefore, be ye what? Also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Tabernacles. Suddenly. That's why suddenly. Nobody expected it. I'm sure the day they gathered at the upper room, they did not know what would happen. Nobody expected anything. They were just obeying what the set man at that time was saying. Peter and maybe James. And John. They said, Peter said we should come. So let's go. Let's go. We didn't know what the 10 day. They went. We didn't know. Day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6. What are we trying to say? You need to be extremely careful so nothing hinders you from going up. Don't say, I've just married a wife. I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I just bought a land. Those are things that hinder you, or let me say, make people tarry in Pentecost. I don't want to go forward. Are you following me? Matthew chapter 25 verse 10. This is not a time to buy and sell. Matthew 25 verse 10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. This is not a time to get engrossed in physical activities.
If you are starting to buy today, it's to buy the truth and sell it not. You should about perfection. That's why you should spend your time to labor. I follow him in. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So having said all that, that is why, like, back to this issue of apostles and prophets that give us understanding at the times. That is why God has sent them to make a people ready. So that nobody will have an excuse that he not know. Because at midnight, a cry was made. So everybody heard the cry. But some people are not ready. Say, let me quickly and buy. So they went to that hard. Please, Pastor Larry, please, can you come and teach me this perfection thing? No, say, even the one I have, I'm trying to do. No, let me put this way. Please begin. Can you be praying 1 hour for me every day? As I'm practicing. I said, this oil that I have was just for me and Sister Ore and Enyoluwa. So please go and buy. Just a simple illustration. Are you following me? Luke chapter 1, verse 17. When I was talking about it, it says, Luke 1:17. It says, and he shall go before him. This one Zechariah was prophesying. In the spirit and in the power of God, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and desire to the wisdom of judges, to make what? Ready. Say ready. A people prepared for the Lord. For the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come into his temple. But before he comes, there will be a company of people that are ready. You must be part of that corporate temple that is ready. So, let me explain further to make it clear. This is just to bring to remembrance what we've been taught using types and shadows. What does it mean to go up? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. A step at a time. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3. This was when Israel kept on going on one particular mountain. And they kept going, and they kept going. And God got frustrated. Which is the same thing that happened when Master said, go you up onto this feast. And he said, what is this? He said, you have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. That is, talking to his church, you've been going around this same mountain of prosperity, this same mountain of healing, this mountain, by reason of time. Go up northward. Leave Pentecost to tabernacles. And you know what the Bible says in Psalms? It says, talks about Mount Zion is on the sides of the where? Of the north. So what are we trying to say by saying, go ye upward? It means to go up unto Zion. The perfection of beauty where God has shined. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1. It's so simple. When you look at these stories in the Bible, if you don't apply to what is happening to you now, then automatically you will not be able to discern what the Lord is saying because you are not in Israel. Are you following me? You are here. Or else you will not apply to you. What does it say? Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us what? Go on to perfection. So go ye up northward, or go ye unto this feast, is the same as going on to perfection. Not laying again. Stop going around the same mountain again. Leave it behind and move up. There's so much in God. To tarry, so to speak, in Jerusalem. After Pentecost, they left the place. They got scattered them. So keep following me. So that is what it means. When the master said, go ye up unto this feast. It was a particular feast. It wasn't Passover. It wasn't Pentecost. It is tabernacles. Praise the Lord. Now verse 9 of John chapter 8. After he gave them that command, it's so interesting. The Bible says that he abode still in Galilee. Are we there? He said, when he had said this words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. What happened in Galilee? A place where he turned water to wine. So even though the feast has begun, you will only see him in Galilee, a place of revelation. Where you have, when he turned water to wine. We've already gone through that. We are going through it, and we will still go through it. Praise the Lord. I'll follow my train of thought. So that's what it means. He says that he was there. That place of revelation. So this now, as you begin to go up, this is what takes us to the second stage. Now I said three sections of the Feast of Tabernacles. I said trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Tabernacles. I'm trying to bring it out from this same story of the Master. So trumpet says that go up. Stage two now takes us to where as you go. What does it mean to go up? To summarize it, this is when we use the blood, the word, and the spirit to cleanse the sin nature from our soul and our body. That's what it means to go up that we're talking about. Psalm 15 verses 1 to 3. Say, who shall abide upon the holy hill? who shall dwell in their tabernacle? Them that have clean hands and have a pure heart. Put it there because of time. I'll put it there. He said that he that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness. I follow me. Walketh, he is not talking about right standing. He's using right standing for right doing. And speaketh the truth in his heart, honesty of heart. This is when you begin to practice. That's how you are going up. I from Psalm 24 verse 3 because of time. Psalm 24 verse 3. And it says, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall go up unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart and not without a soul or vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He ends up by saying that this is the generation that seek your face. Those are those that will go up. Praise the Lord. So in summary, to go up is to use the promise of God to cleanse the sin nature from your soul and your body. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I'm happy, and I know I've been taught, we're all practicing that. So if you are doing that, we should continue to do that. Are you following me? So the other thing is that as you continue to do that, the next thing that will happen is that you will appear in secret. John chapter 7 verse 10. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John 7:10. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Holy Spirit. John 7:10 says, but when his brethren, I follow, were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast. Not openly, but as it were in secret. But you know, there's no way you're going to see in secret that some people will know. So disciples might have known. But some many did not know. But yeah, that is where we are now. Now, Pastor, what I was going to say, this good morning Jesus prayers. You know why? The master said, book of Matthew, what did he say? He said that when you pray, he said, shut the door. And your father that see it in secret. Tell you what you're opening. So, the word has not come yet, but we are praying in secret. Personally, it's a secret to me. It's a secret. I don't know whether you don't pray, but it's a secret. But God has said, okay, everybody that's participating in that kind of prayer, one day we will bring out the reward openly. Are you following me? Matthew 6, verse 6. Matthew 6, 6. The Bible says that. Are we there? See, when, yes, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You know, it's no more a public gathering. Your closet in your house. And when thou hast shut the door, nobody will open his door at 5 a.m. Pray to thy father, which is in secret. And thy father, which is in secret, shall what you open it. But the time prays. The master, the father is looking to everybody that praying in secret today. And he said, one day he's going to reward them openly. Or first, know what the reward is. The spirit without measure. That also means, what are we saying? He talks about in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. You see, you begin to experience something. A new name. A white stone. There's no man know it. You know, nobody will know outside. You just collected, Pastor Chloe was preaching, a letter of appointment unto affliction. All around you. But in within, you know, I'm changing. There's a joy. Something begins to bubble. In spite of whatever is happening in your circumstance. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. Are we there? Say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Begin to eat the hidden manna. Your daily Bible reading. Most of the things I read is the same Bible in the sent to us. That I get them from. Every day, you know, when I spend time after prayers, I just go, I begin to read. And first of all, I'll read that one. I'll go over it again. And then God now begins, and I'm beginning, well, this is the same that I've been reading all these years now. How come I can see all this in this same, just the same chapter? I said, new light comes. I say, why? Because see, there's nothing new we want to hear. Well, God is just trying to encourage us. Stay in the race. Just stay in the race. So we can see little details. He says that, I will give to it of eating manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone, a new name, written, with no man knoweth, save he that receiveth it. So within, you know you are changing. People will not know. I don't want to go there. You know, sir. I don't let me go there. You begin to change within. You begin to change within. Your sin rate begins to drop. It begins to tend towards zero. Notice, no miracle on the external. The landlord is still knocking on your door, asking for rent money. But inside, you are changing. What matters is there will be tribulation. But say, in the world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. The secret. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That is where you begin to perfect the love of God. That's the only essence of good morning, Jesus prayers. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to John chapter 7. We read verses 11 and 12. In that period of time, we have passed through it. We are passing through it. And we yet pass through it. People begin to say something. Like they told him. Did you search him at this feast? Ah, Pastor Jerry, the feast has come now. But we have not seen him. No manifestation. And what? And they said, where is he? For 2 Peter chapter 3. They begin to ask, where is the promise of his coming? In that period, when you begin to change within, I don't know why you are quiet. Me, I'm excited. Because I can see what the master is doing. He's exciting me. Or you can say, this is it. Did you start him at the feast? And they couldn't see him. No, the fellow brother, even in the church. He said, you've been doing this thing for how many years? You've been following pastor for how many years? What is it? Where? Under? Where is he? What do you have to show for it? What do you have? Because it's in secret. One more. Listen, the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own knew him not. But as many as received him in secret, he gave them power to be what? The sons of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Thank you, Jesus. We give all the glory. 2 Peter chapter 3. That is what is going on. Understand. Don't be discouraged. He says, know this. First. Before the appearing. Know this. First, there shall what come in the last days, scoffers, working after their own loss. Lot of flesh, lot of eyes. Next verse. And said, where is the promise of his coming? Pastor Joey. For since the fathers fell asleep, Papa Egan has died, Doug Warnock has died, all these great men of God have died. Including what's the name of the father that came here the other day? Kelly Vanna, they have died, Pastor Joey. You are still following this message. Well, what about you? I said, bad year, 50 something. Back when I passed something to do. So, where is the promise of his coming? Says, no, he said, don't let him disturb you. He said, they begin to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 8. So, Peter says something. He said, ignorant people. He said, but beloved, be not ignorant. When they talk to you like that, tell them, be not ignorant of this one thing. There's only one thing. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So this is where, when it begins to appear in secret, nobody sees it. Circumstances are yet to fall into place. People begin to say, like the Jews, where is he? The feast has started. He said he started in 2,000. He said after 2 days. Where is he? We have not seen him. Or are we part of those that are saying that? Say God forbid. So, and now the third thing is that he now appears in the middle of the feast. Same chapter. John 7:14. So, how do you know when he appears? He's already appeared in some. You need to understand what is going on. When he appeared, he began to teach. But see, this teaching now was different from the other teachings. You know what he said? Are we there? 14. What's it? Now, about the midst of the feast, he went up into the temple. You are the temple of God. You have individual temples and corporate temples. So he appeared in a particular temple and he began to teach. And when he began to teach, and he taught. Next verse. And he said, what kind of teaching is this? They said, and the Jews marveled, saying, I know this man. Letters, having never gone to Bible school. Next verse. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sends me. Next verse. For if any man will do his will, what is that will? Love. The perfection of the love of God. If any man will do his will, then will you know whether the doctrine is mine or not, that I speak out of myself. So he began to teach. So you see, the teaching has begun. You see, we are moving from this place to the next stage, prophetically speaking, for us. They began to teach. The master is teaching through vessels. That's why you want that. I've heard pastor preach about. You see, we're not talking about people here. We're just trying to make you understand what is going on. You know, when God, John the Baptist, his assignment was to point out the Christ. Are you following me? So we're trying to understand what is going on. So you don't despise them that God has raised up. So you don't despise the teaching. So he began to teach. And as he taught, what happened? John 17. John 7:17. Move to 17. I said, if anyone will do it, then I know. Okay, one more verse before we go. But I said, he did not only teach, he taught boldly. Say boldly. Boldly. John 7:26. Says, but lo, he speaketh what? Boldly. And they say nothing unto him. The rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ. So they saw a difference in the teaching in the season of tabernacles than Pentecost. He began to speak boldly. He said, we have never heard anybody speak like this before. I've seen some messages that come up recently. That one about seeing the invisible. I'm wondering, God, is it not what we have heard before? It comes in a new world. This last teaching on Sunday, Lord will give us understanding. Now, how do I know the teaching is different? This speaks about the teaching to perfect the love of God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. He said, he taught them boldly. There's only one teaching that can make you bold. He says, where is our love made perfect that we have boldness? Say boldness. Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as is, so are we in this world. That is where we are. That is the teaching that is coming forth. To perfect the love of God. When you begin to perfect it, perfect love will cast out fear and you'll be bold. That is where we are. He said, we got to teach him love with peace boldly. Boldly, not ordinarily. Boldly. And there's only one teaching that can make you bold. It is the perfection of the love of God. As you can see, we are hearing, is our love made perfect. Why? That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We are in the day of judgment. And the Bible says that for judgment must begin in the house of God. He said, if the righteous be cast as hell, what shall be the death of the ungodly and the sinner? That is where we are. There is only one teaching, I repeat, that can make you bold, the love of God. When you perfect it, you cast off fear in this day of judgment. Praise the Lord. So, the same thing that it says, Isaiah chapter 2 verse 3, I won't turn there. He said, let us go up to the mount of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. I will walk in his paths. This is the teaching, that is where we see. I said, this is where we are now. Some are just going up. You've gone up, you keep on going up. Some is appearing in secret, as we begin to pray. After the 20 secrets most high, then right now he's beginning to teach boldly. When you begin to imbibe those teachings, begin to be bold. You to begin to share such teachings. So the people say, let us go. Now this down leads us to stage 4. I said we are transiting between the teaching of his ways into the last day, the great day of the feast. John chapter 7, verse 37. Same John. Read the 2 verses as we begin to close. Are we there? In the last day, quite like it's the last day. We're in that last day. For some, that's the last day. In the last day, that great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, strong crying and tears. And cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Next verse. He that believeth on me, as scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. That is where we are moving there now. Some have already stepped into Jordan, the four priests, to part the way. So, to round up, this teaching that is coming forth in this season, the love of God that's making us bold, it will do 2 things. One, it will bring in the harvest of the fruit of love. Perfect love, Bible says, cast out fear. Psalm 17, verse 15. We come out in his likeness. Are we there? 17:15. Let's ask for me. Say, ask for me. Ask for me. You know, he didn't say I'm my household here. It's individual. I can't take my wife there. Ask for me. Say, ask for me. Joshua said, I'm my household. This one is for you. Ask for me. I will behold thy facing. Righteousness. At the right standing and right doing it. Right standing gives through the blood, gives you life. And as you continue to use that life to pray and to cleanse yourself, I shall be what? Satisfied. When I awaken is in thy likeness. It is character. Are you following what I'm trying to say? You understand now Isaiah 53. It says, I see the travail of his soul, I'm satisfied. It's not only about healing. No, it says he took our infirmities, he bore our sicknesses, by his stripes we are healed. It's the travail of his soul. This is the travail he's waiting for. If it is that healing alone, how come he's not satisfied? That's what he's waiting for. So, when people emerge in his likeness, and I said the second thing that this teaching will do when we begin to practice this teaching of perfection of God, that it will create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness that will cause death to be a manifestation of the spirit that measure. He said, if any man thirst, say, let him come to me and come and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. So you have to first of all drink before you come. But that is the symbol. Then I said they took the pitcher, the golden pitcher, to take water from the pool of Siloam, the book called Saints, apostolic and prophetic teaching. And they will take it to the temple in natural Israel. Then they will see silver vessels speaking about humanity that those have been reading. They will pour it inside. So Master says on light of says, no. Leave the symbol. The reality is come unto me and drink. So when you drink from the divine, I follow me, and it's poured into you, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So we create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. What are we saying? This hunger and thirst for righteousness, our rivers begin to flow that will bring in the harvest of the nations. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 19 says, righteousness tends to life. We begin to practice righteousness, right? Using right standing to perfect right doing. When we begin to do that, Bible says, all thy garments smell of man. Say, thou art loved righteousness and I hated iniquity. Therefore, thy God, even as I am with all thy guys above thy fellows. Proverbs 21, 21. We don't have time to turn there. Pastor has taught us. You can look it up. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. Isaiah 2, 2. Are we there? So, and it shall, I said, it will bring in the harvest. Two things. It will perfect the love of God, the harvest of love of God in his saints. And then it will also bring in the end time harvest. And it shall come to pass in the last days, which we are in, the last day, the great day of the feast, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in top of mountains. Go ye up. Are you following me? In the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above all hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Next verse. The same thing will come. The teaching has started now for us in secret. And many people shall go and come and say, come ye, let us go up on the mount of the Lord's house to the house of God Jacob. And he shall teach us his ways. I will walk in his path, for out of the shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this aspect is where we are facing now. The very end, the last day of the great feast, the great and the terrible day. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. Let Father Hagin prophesy this thing. Are we there? Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. I'll just read a few verses. Let me see. He said that afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house. And behold, water began to issue out from under the threshold of the house eastward, the rising of the sun. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. And that's what our prayer, the right hand of the Lord, the high priestly ministry of Jesus. When you begin to practice that thing, when you begin to join forces together on the upper room that we do every morning, water will begin to issue out. He said, first of all, start from the ankles. I don't have time to turn there. Now, as you continue, just keep walking. Because the man said, he will measure another 1,000 cubits. Measure another 1,000 cubits, then he goes to the knees. You get to the school of genealogy. You begin to know how to pray. You begin to rule on your knees. Then he gets to the loins. Then you need to give birth to prophetic things. Year of new births. New beginnings. Then he gets and it covers you. What has that? No man can walk again. And then when it gets to that level, the reserve is going to flow out. And let's go to this verse as we begin to round up. Verse 7. I don't know why I'm so excited. Everybody looks. Am I talking Greek? Now, when I return, behold, at the bank of the river. No, he's not talking about. He said, out of his belly shall flow river. The bank is here. Yeah. I follow me. I bank of river, we have very many trees on the one side. And on the other. Next verse. Next verse. Yeah. Then said unto me, this water is out towards the east country. And go down to the desert. And go into the sea. Which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. The sea of people. Next verse. Next verse. The nations. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Next verse. Next verse. Then said he unto me, and it came to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth,
whithersoever the rivers shall come, shall live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. He said, get more. Say, multitude! Multitude! In the valley of decision. It's that river that will bring them in. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And it came to pass that the fishers shall stand. How many people are fishermen? Now you understand that scripture when he called Peter, James, and John. That will make you fishers of men. God wants to make you. He makes you fishers of men when he makes you a son. I found, so fishing becomes automatic. Says it's a fisher's, and shall stand upon from Engedi even unto Egline, and there shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of a great sea, exceeding many. I will say, he put forth the parable unto them. Said, the kingdom of God is like a net that man can. So, is it the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the ghost, in your spirit, soul, and body. That is the net that God was drawn. Now you now understand Romans chapter 8, where it said, the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the net. The kingdom of God is cast. After the glory, will he send me to the nations? Then it will be the net. You are the net. If you notice in the book of, just coming to me, if you notice at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, the net store. At the end, when they went to go and fish, when they went out fishing, he said they caught so much that it's not here. Now the net is tearing to go to evangelism, because we are yet to perfect the love of God. At the end, when he appeared to me, go and read it. He says that this is the third time that he appeared unto them. Go and read it. When the third day, go to appear this third time, and the net will not break. Put as we, let me just mention to support what I've been saying, prophecy by Kenneth Hagin. Thank you, Lucas. That's the end of the message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's just the end. Put that Kenneth Hagin's prophecy. I want us to see one or two things. That is where we are right now. You know what the Bible says? You can please just give me a few minutes. I want to stop. You know what the Bible says? It says, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. Meanwhile, Abraham had died. This prophecy, Baba Hagin is there. He rejoiced to see this day. He just went past. God give us understanding. There has been, and there is now a revival. A revival, a renewal. As some will call it, a move down through the years. In these last days, the manifestation of a spirit, I put without measure, the power of God in manifestation has touched all people, all churches, but the end is not yet. For you are only stepped into the waters that the prophet of the Old Testament prophesied, Ezekiel 47, that we just read. Next verse, please. Move down. Please move down. Move down. They don't understand. Go your mother. I will take 5 minutes extra time. Please move down now, please. Both of time. At the same time, no, you skipped the verse. Okay, anyway, maybe. So he prophesied about this thing. We talked about this great move of God. As the word is right in front of us. It says, the evil men shall wax, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Those that are deceived and desire not the truth. Put it back there. Put it back there. Put it back. Okay. Okay, maybe. Okay. So you have. Okay. So, but rather, they love darkness and shall become darker still. Gross darkness shall cover the earth. Yeah. Many will look into the world and say, Satan and his works are abounding. Don't look into the world though. The kingdom of God is within. So their eyes will close to what God is doing because it is in secret. But he will prepare himself a body. Yea, a body of believers who will rise up, go up to that feast, strong in faith, and do exploits. Next verse. Next verse. He's raising up and will raise up what those call natural vernacular, a new breed. Gideon's army, metamorphosis changing to Joel's army. Are you following me? That's a new breed he's talking about. Now, it's not only limited to us. There are people all over the world. Are you following me? They will not be inhibited by the traditions of the past. Nor shall they be downcast because of the negativism of the past. nor shall they be circumscribed and hindered and held in because of the thinking of men. Next verse. But knowing their rights and privileges in Christ, they shall rise up with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it shall be said of them, as it was of those in the New Testament, they that have turned the world upside down are come either also. Next. Says, so what? Prepare you the way of the Lord, for the Lord cometh, but occupy till he comes. Let's go up unto Mount Zion. Let's bow down to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. There's a scripture I just flashed when I was praying to come on. It said, the hour for the Son of Man to glorify it has come. When that hour, let's talk to God. Let's ask God to help us to go up onto this particular Feast of Tabernacles. We go up by using the blood, the word, and the spirit to cleanse out the sin nature of my soul and body. Then we will begin to take part of that hidden manna as we begin to pray in our closets. By this good morning, Jesus prayer, again, we cannot overemphasize it. It's very important that we begin to appear to him in secret. Say, when you go and pray, say, close the door. So it's not like we gather here to pray on Tuesday. That is fine. But it's you and God alone. So Father, begin to look at you in secret. Then somewhere down the line, he will reward you openly with the spirit without measure. Firstly, a borrowed anointing before you can get your own. Then you begin to hear this fine teaching. Boldly, which is the teaching of the love of God. That's what makes you bold. And finally, you begin to drink and drink and drink and drink. As perfect that love now begin to empty those vessels. It will bring in the end of harvest. Let's stand to our feet as we pray. And we are now a people prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb. Watching and praying for Jesus' return.
Preparing
our heart like a bride getting ready. And we now drink from the water of life in the city, where the Lord is alive.
We hear you say,
you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the bride say, come.
This is the day
of his return.
Bride
getting ready, and we now drink from the water of life in the city where the Lord is alive.
We hear you say,
you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the bride say, come.
We hear you say,
you are coming soon, and the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Let's put one hand on our heart as we've been taught and raise the other hand to heaven. Let's talk to God for a few minutes as we pray. Thank you so much, Holy Spirit, for glorifying you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for covering. Thank you, Lord, for the people that will hear the things that we hear, that prophets of old have desired to look into. We honor you, Father. We are grateful, Lord Jesus, for the people that will be counted worthy by your blood. We partakers of this particular feast. We honor you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your visit. Thank you for covering. Say, Father, we confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, please have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the times and the seasons that we are in, even the season of the Feast of Tabernacles. Thank you, Father, for the fathers of the house, even the sons of Issachar, whom you have given unto me, and have given me an understanding of the times and the seasons, and what I ought to do. Therefore, by your mercy and your grace, I go up unto this feast, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, to cleanse out the sin nature in my soul and body, perfecting your love, even holiness in the fear of God. Thank you, Father, because by your mercy and grace, as I do this, you will create a hunger and a thirst for you and your righteousness, until I'm filled and manifest the spirit without measure, that will bring in the harvest of the nations and close this age in Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Thank you.